You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning.
Good.
Good morning. Boy, you guys got to wake up. Good morning. A little better. I still see some of you not moving your mouths, so maybe you need some coffee or something. I'm going to just do a few announcements before we begin our service. We are invited to a retirement luncheon honoring Pastor Keith Carlson. He is retiring from Dassel, Minnesota. I got this, must be late, because I looked at it and your RSVP is already over. But I would still think you could go. They're having a service for him on August 6th. That is Sunday. Worship is at 9:30, and it's followed by luncheon and a program. You could definitely show up anyway and go to and surprise Pastor Keith and Sue. Those of you that remember them, they started their ministry here 1978 here in Lake Brunson, and they've been in Dassel, Minnesota ever since. So I see Pastor Keith at a lot of conferences, and he's always asking about all of you. So you have been in their prayers ever since their time here. So that's pretty awesome. Okay, if you'd like to turn in your bulletins, I just have a few other announcements today. You'll see we're needing nursery starting the Sunday worship in a month. We're going to be doing it already, so please let Sherry know if you'd be willing to help out between September and December. And then also we need VBS help, and we are really needing, and I know I've said it before, and we need men to step up and volunteer for VBS, because it is so important that kids see men involved in that ministry. So please step up and help out. If you possibly can at all, pray about it if you feel God leading you. And just encourage you to get a hold of us and let us know that you would help out with VBS this year. Okay, we are also looking for Sunday school teachers still, and that is coming up quick. Shannon is busy organizing and getting ready, so if you would be willing to teach Sunday school, we would definitely appreciate it. Let us know as soon as possible. Also, council meets this Thursday, a week from Thursday, August 10th at 7 o'clock. I also have a couple just announcements that I need to make. Hannah Johnson had her baby. That is Virginia Caulfield's great, granddaughter, and now she has a great granddaughter. Sorry, I said that backwards. Her name is Eleanor Amelia Cobb. They call her Nora. She's having some health issues right now, so they are airlifting her right now to Duluth. So we need to be praying for Nora. She's ingested some fluids and has pneumonia, so she is on her way. So we will definitely be praying about that, if you would, for Nora as she heads over to Duluth. And Hannah and family will be following. Okay, also Lacey and Justin Perry, I think I can announce that, had a little baby girl. And I know I'm going to say this wrong because it looks like Ilsa, but it's Isla, right? Isla Jean Perry, and she's doing well, right? Yeah, awesome. So we need to congratulate them as well. Okay, any other announcements this morning that I might have missed? Christy. Yes. That'd be great. If you'd like to give a special gift for Ben Christofferson, make the check out to the Lutheran Church, right? Yep, and then they can they will match that and pass it on, I believe. Mark it Ben in the memo. Okay, Ben Christofferson in the memo. And if you'd like to know more about Ben's journey, you can check it out on Caring Bridge. His fiancée, Caitlin, has done an amazing job of keeping us updated on that as well. So, thank you. Anything else this morning? Okay. Renee, would you come up and do scripture and prayer for us?
Today's scripture is from Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Do I have any other prayer requests? Peggy?
I would like to pray for my grandson, Brooks Nordine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else? Bruce or Elsa?
My dad's back is really bad right now.
Okay. Anybody else? Lori?
Having an issue with the veins in the legs.
Okay. Glenda? Are you feeling better? Perfect. Eric?
We had a friend in Texas. His name was Tom Tucker. He prayed for him a couple of weeks ago, but he's got some bad cancer issues too.
Okay.
Actually, I know Alvin Borman does too.
Who?
Alvin Borman.
Alvin.
He's a neighbor of ours up there, and he had cancer about 7 years ago.
Okay. Anybody else? Jordan?
Just continue prayer for Roland Gates, please. And then also praise that Jake is feeling great. He has a plan coming. Prayer for that.
Mm-hmm. Last call. Okay, let's bow our hearts, please. Oh, Father, we just thank you for today, Lord, and all the people that you've gathered here. We just pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and fill us with your spirit. Just let us feel your presence here and just surrender everything we have for you. We thank you for your son who died on the cross for us, Lord, and the love that you lavish on us every day. I just want to thank you for little baby Isla, Lord, and just the miracle that she is and all babies, Lord. I just pray for mothers out there just and dads, just give them the strength that they need every day to walk through it and just to be an example of a faithful, strong marriage, Lord, so all kids can see what you have entitled for all marriages, Lord. I pray for little Nora's lungs that she will just get the fluid out and she'll just fight off this pneumonia that she's having, Lord. I just ask for peace for the family and just to grow closer to you during this time. I pray for Brooks, Lord, that the affection will just go away and not spread further, Lord, and just may he just feel better and not have any pain with his toe. I pray for Angela, Lord, and Tom and Elvin, who are all suffering with cancer, Lord. I just ask for peace in their hearts, peace for their families. I just ask for a miracle too, Lord, and just glory will be given to you through this, and may they just gather together and just call upon you, Lord. I'd pray for Mike's back. I just ask that you just take away any pain and anything that's wrong, that you would put your hand on him and heal him, Lord, and just may he get back on his feet and feeling better and able to move. I pray for Lori's veins, whatever she's facing, Lord, that she just gets guidance from the doctor, and if there's pain, please remove it. And just I just thank you for her heart and her happy, smiley face every day. We thank you for Glenda and how you've healed her, Lord, and she's feeling better. Thank you for working wonders in her and just for her smile as well. And finally, we thank you for the Viggs, Lord, and just the heart that they have for you. I pray, Lord, that you bring Rosie home to us, Lord, and may those papers just be signed and she's on that plane coming home. And I thank you for Jake, Lord, too, that how you have worked miracles with him, Lord, and the family. And I just thank you for all the prayers this community has offered. I just pray the appointments that he has coming up will be good news, Lord. And I just thank you again for all that you've done with him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Renee. We got the ushers come forward for the offering this morning. And praise team, if you want to come up, we'll continue by singing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, and we just praise you for opportunities to give. We pray, Lord, that you'd guide us. Father, speak to our hearts today as we enter into worship. As we come before you, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be ready to hear, and that you'd guide us, and you'd teach us today. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please sing with us.
This is my desire. Father, as we begin to learn more and more about worship, just pray that you'll speak to our hearts, to be able to quiet the things that are going on in our mind, and to just give you the time that you so deserve. For you're the only God that gave their only Son to die on the cross, gave him up to death, so that we could have the hope of eternal life. We pray that we could learn how to worship you with heart and spirit and mind. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We'd have the kids come up. Julie has a children's sermon that she would like to share with you. So kids, come on up.
Going to read a verse first, and then we're going to talk about what all that means. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," did you know that you're all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? You may not be in the same household, but you're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And it says, "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship." Sounds a little confusing, doesn't it? How do I give my body? Anybody have any ideas? Okay, we're going to learn about that. Okay, you want? And I'm going to hope that my clicker works from here because I have needs to do it from here. So here we go. Telling me I'm going backwards instead of forward. Okay, what is that? A ship. Any of you ever been on a ship like that? Anybody out there? I think if Gordy was here, maybe. Sue has. Okay. All right. Up on the top. Who can tell me what the word says up on the top? Raise your hand. Okay. Go ahead. Worship. Okay. And that's what our series that Pastor Galen is doing right now is called Worship. And so there's a way that I want you to remember what it means to worship. Can you see the writing on the bottom of the ship? Let's read it together. It says, "We offer our ship." Okay? So what do you think? Do you guys have a ship? Anybody here have a ship? No? Sometimes the way we remember things is by making an image in our mind. And so we are going to present, we're going to pretend that our bodies are a ship, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, we offer our ship, okay? So that kind of ship is, it looks like maybe a type of a battleship, or maybe it could be a cargo ship. It really wasn't plain, but it's a pretty big ship, isn't it? Okay, and everybody out there and all of you here, we have different talents and gifts, just like we could have a different type of looking ship, okay? And so that's one ship. We could be something that carries a lot of people. Maybe it carries a lot of cargo. Anybody have an idea what kind of ship this is? Yes. A cruise ship. I imagine there's a few pools on there, and you think there's a roller coaster on there? No? Okay, I thought you said that. Okay, so our ship could look like a cruise ship, okay? This is just a, anybody know what this is called? Yes, a yacht. She's good. Okay, and a yacht won't hold as many people, but usually there's a place you can sleep on there, and then you drive it around and you just kind of travel on the water. Like if we're going to take our camper and go camping, instead they take their yacht and go yachting. They stay out in the water, fish, live. And usually it's kind of just like we were camping, only they do it on the water. What kind of boat is this? Fishing boat or a motorboat, okay? It's a small one. Most likely, if any of you have ridden in something, it would be this. Raise your hand if you've ridden in a type of motorboat. Okay, a lot more of us are familiar with that. Okay, so what I'm trying to get at with these pictures is that each of us in our worship with our ship, which is us, we can look different because we maybe are really good at helping others in worship. We are maybe really good at singing. We are maybe good at praying or reading our Bible and understanding it or just being a good friend or a good helper. And so our ships all look different. But every ship needs at least two things. Can you think of something that a ship needs? An engine. Okay. An engine. Well, we're going to pretend that they all have engines, but what else do we have to add to that ship that's not already on there? Yes. Gas. Okay. One other thing. Gas or fuel is right. What other thing? Think about that if... No, you already... We're going to pretend that's all there. This is something that has to be added to that ship. Come on, somebody else besides Libs. Libby. Somebody else besides Libby. Okay, that last boat. What else is on there that you see? Yes. A person. If we don't have someone driving the ship, is it going to get where it's supposed to go? No. Okay, so we know that we need two things. For our boat to run, we need fuel. Would it work if I put some glue in my gas tank? Would it work if I put some water in my gas tank?
No.
Would it work if I put some paint in my gas tank?
No, unless you have a paint ship.
So what does that say? I have to have what? Only the right kind of fuel, right? Okay. And then we have our captain or the person who's driving the ship, right? And do they have to know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Could any of you just go out and drive those big cruise ships or anything like that?
Crazy.
No, crazy, right. And it probably takes a few people to do that. Okay, so if we represent the ships, our bodies are like a ship, when we come to church, then we can offer our ships to God. And how do we do that? Okay, well, first of all, the fuel is worship. When we come in here and we're singing praises to God, did you guys know just how much God likes praises? Raise your hand if you know that God really likes praises. Okay? So do you guys think that God deserves to hear our praises in singing and thanking? But how many times do we forget? All of us. I know when I'm standing up here in front, I can see exactly who's singing and who's not. And who's paying attention and who's not. But that's not my judgment call. It's our hearts and what God's speaking to us about. Okay, so when we worship, that helps to bring fuel. That helps to revive us, okay? But the captain of our ship needs to always be Jesus because he knows exactly what we need for every day. And sometimes it may feel like God is late arriving with what we think we need. And we find out later that, no, his timing is just right because maybe I needed to learn something or maybe someone else needed to come into my life to help me with that. Okay, so Jesus needs to be our captain or our pilot. And each of us as ships, like I said, we function differently. So how do we offer ourselves in a ship? We can, what's this person doing?
Yes.
Praying. And what are they doing there?
Singing.
And what are they doing there?
Reading yes. The Bible.
Reading the Bible. And what are they doing there? It says right on it, doesn't it? What's it say? Listening to God. And sometimes that's what we forget to do, is just take time to listen. Shut out all the electronics. Shut out off the TV. And just listen. Just listen. So those are the four ways that I put up there that you can bring your person, your ship, to God to worship. Okay, so let's just say this one last time together so we remember what worship means. Here we go. We offer our ship. And what is our ship again? Us. Awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. I just thank you for all these children. I pray, God, that you would just bless them abundantly. I pray, too, that you would speak to each and every heart, all of our hearts, Lord, about how much you desire our worship and our praise, our thanksgiving, because you've given us so much. Your mercy is so great. I pray that you would bless each one of these children in their day, in their week. Just guide them to be disciples and followers of you. I thank you also for this congregation and the people out there, and I pray that you would bless them abundantly and speak to all of our hearts in the message Galen has to bring today. Amen.
Okay, if you guys go down to Janelle, she has a sucker for you. Make sure your sticks go in the garbage, though.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, kids. Today we are going to begin by looking at our first message in a message of four, a series of four on worship. And today we're going to look at what are we made for. One thing that we know that I definitely see in our world today is we are in an identity crisis. There's so many people struggling to know who they are, where they fit in, where they belong. Today is just a hard day as I think about. There was another young man that had taken his life, funerals today. And it just breaks my heart. I think there's another young man that didn't know his worth, his value. He didn't know his identity, what we're made for. And I grieve today with that family. And I think about how important this is that we understand that God calls us to worship him. He wants us to know who we are and what we are made for. So as we begin with that, I would just like to open in prayer before we get into the message, as I just desire so much that we will come from this with a deeper understanding of what worship truly is. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, Lord. We lift up this family of this young man, Lord. Speak to their hearts, comfort them today. Guide them, I pray, for Pastor Ollie as he delivers a message, Lord Jesus, of what you have laid on his heart. Just bless him, guide him. Father, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Help us to know who we are, what we are made for, God. We pray that you would just open your word to us, open our eyes and our hearts. Help us to hear. Help us to listen, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Last Sunday, as you know, I gave a brief introduction of what's coming in the next 4 weeks, and actually it's going to be five. As I said, we're going to be looking at the topic of worship. And as I referenced last Sunday, loving God and worshiping God go hand in hand. They do. For you cannot separate the two. When you love God with all your heart, as he intends, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, if you love God in that way, you would worship him. The more we get to know God, the more we fall in love with him, the more we understand what our purpose is, and the more we worship. So to refresh our memories, today we're going to be looking at, as I said, what we're made for. Next Sunday, we're going to look at how to worship extravagantly. Then on August 13th, we're going to look at worshiping God in our brokenness and our pain. How do we do that? And then on August 20th, Donnie Thorlacius will be speaking. Here I will be gone that day. And then on the 27th, I'll be back and we'll be talking about worshiping as a way of life. How worship is every part of us. Well, last Sunday we talked about the prophecy that Isaiah brought to us. And we looked at Psalm 61, and this was 700 years before Christ, as I said. And Jesus referenced this prophecy as recorded in Luke, as he said that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And I'd just like to read that to you. If you'd want to turn in your Bibles, you can. I don't have it on a slide because I wanted you to either listen or to follow along with me out of your Bible. So turn to Luke 4, verses 16 through 21, or if you'd like to, just sit back and listen. Now this was after the temptation of Jesus. Satan asked Jesus twice. He said, if you are the Son of God, first of all, he said, tell this stone to become bread. Then he led Jesus to a high place, and he said, I will give you all authority and splendor, as if Satan had that power to do that. He did not, but he was lying to Jesus, because Satan said, for this authority has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, Satan, can you just, it drives me crazy. I just think of that. Satan saying, if you worship me, Jesus, Son of God, if you worship me, Satan, everything that you see will be yours. And we know how Jesus answered, of course. He quoted scripture. And then finally, the devil says, he said, if you are the Son of God, one more time, he says, if you throw yourself down from here, he said, he gives scripture again, he will command his angels concerning you and save you. And Jesus says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now we're in a different section where Jesus is coming to Nazareth, and I'm going to start in verse 16. Listen closely. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, and as I said back then, it was customary. You stood up when you read scripture. And Jesus reads, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was announcing that this was the day of salvation. He was the fulfillment of prophecy. Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And as I said back then, when you sat down, that was customary, you begin to teach. So he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. They were staring at him, wondering what he's going to say. And he began by saying this to them. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was announcing that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Jesus is declaring that the Spirit of the Lord is on him because he was anointed to preach good news to the poor and proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's saying, I am the fulfillment of that prophecy, and that salvation is found in me. I am the one that will set you free from your spiritual blindness, from your bondage to sin and death. In knowing who Jesus is, in knowing him, I want you to listen to this. Why would we not worship him in total surrender? Why would, when we come to worship together, even in this place, and this is just a very small part of your life of worship, being here on Sunday morning needs to be a very small part. Why would you not fully put everyone aside? You don't care who's looking at you. Why would you not just worship in total submission, in total surrender, because you know who Jesus is? When I say that when we know God more, we will love God more, and when we love God more, we will work for him more. And when you work for him more, when you find your identity in him, and you realize just how big God is, you will worship him more intently. I believe that one of the reasons that we don't worship God in total surrender is that we don't know how much we're being saved from. I think if we knew how much we're being saved from, we would worship him more. Or how much we're being saved for. When you think of eternity, when you think of what that's going to be like, when you think of the holy city, the new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven, and I've often heard it described as 1,600 feet wide, 1,600 feet long, and 1,600 feet high, just the new Jerusalem. Or sorry, not 1,600 feet, I said that wrong. 1,600 miles, it's a little bit longer. 1,600 miles wide, 1,600 miles long, and 1,600 miles high. Can you imagine that? It took 1,900 miles just to get to Phoenix, Arizona, to see Marge, or to Mesa. 300 miles being short of the height of the New Jerusalem, the new city. Can you imagine how big God is? I wanted to show you this morning the whole video of Louis Giglio's How Great Is Our God, but I thought, we're going to be here for another 3 hours. Now, I'm up for it, but I'm sure some of you probably are not. But those of you who have seen it, you know how big God is, as best as we can see it. We see so dimly in this world around us. And we can get caught up in our little world and the burdens that we go through. And we forget how big God is. I think if we could just catch a 10-second glimpse of God's grace being removed from us, where we lived in sin, separated from him like nothing at all, no God. 10-second glimpse. Can you imagine what that would look like? Or can you imagine a 10-second glimpse of eternity? I've had this discussion just so recently lately because I've lost many friends that have gone into eternity that are now done with this life. And I can go name after name, and I see face after face, and I think they're finished with this. They've already moved on. What are they experiencing today? What is waiting for them? Think about that. My prayer for us in these next 4 weeks is that God would reveal more of himself to us through his word. That by the power of his Holy Spirit, so that we would enter into a deeper life of worship with him. And I'm not talking just here. Trust me. This is a small part of your worship. God is your creator. Genesis 1:1 says what? Almost everyone knows this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That's all of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I've wondered many times, why did God create anything? When I look at this world and I look at what's going on and I wonder, God, why did you create this? And then I think about, why did he create me? God wasn't in need of anything, was he? So why did he create anything at all? What was God's purpose in creating all of this, including you sitting here today? Has there ever been a time in your life that you wondered what you were made for? I know I have. Or what your purpose was. God really didn't need you, right? He didn't need me. And yet God chose to create us, and he chose that you would be part of that amazing creation. And as I said, this is part one of a 4-part series on worship, and I just pray today that as we look at what we were made for, that you will see your incredible value. That just how much God loves you. So why did God make the heavens and the earth, including you? Well, we're not the first to ask that question. David asked that very question in Psalm 8. And David said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" It's a legitimate question. David says, "When I consider what you've created, why did you create me? What am I?" So first of all, why did God make us? He wasn't incomplete. He didn't need anything. He didn't need our help in making decisions. He didn't need our help in picking out what we should do tomorrow. I need help picking out my clothes every Sunday morning. God doesn't need that. God didn't need advice. He didn't have any questions that needed to be answered by us. He wasn't lonely, he wasn't bored, he wasn't discouraged. And yet God clearly did something that is amazing. He chose to create. Acts 17 says this, and Paul is speaking, Luke writes, but Paul is speaking, he said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. God is complete. He is sufficient. There's nothing that we needed to add to what God has already done." That's comforting to know, because I've seen some of the stuff I build. It's pretty pathetic. I did not have the gift of carpentry. I don't have the gift of creating. So despite God not needing us, he chose to create us anyway. And scripture tells us that it was because of his great love for us. And how awesome is that? How awesome is that God is love? And that was his decision that he made. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." John 3:16 and 17 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We are told from Scripture that God loved us even before he created us. Let me just say, that thought for me, in my little mind, is absolutely impossible. How can I love something that doesn't even exist? How can I love something that I don't know anything about? And yet God says that I loved you even before I created you. You're getting just a little picture that we see so dimly. God is so much bigger. 1 John 4:7 and 8. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." That's how he's described. God is love. And loving one another is part of what you are made for. Let me plug that little piece of puzzle into your life. You are made to love other people. Secondly, God created us to fulfill his eternal plan. I don't know why he chose that, but it says he did. And we are so blessed to be a part of that plan, because when you think of that, can you imagine the amazing gift it is to speak the truth of the gospel to someone, to tell them that there is life, there is hope, there is forgiveness of sin? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And secondly, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, as it says in Matthew 22:39. And so many people stall out on just love. They just say, well, this is it. Greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. mind, strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. That's all I need to do. Let me tell you, that's a big order. And if you think that's an easy task, you're not seeing very clearly. And yet many people are fooled by it today. They think, I just got to love my neighbor. You even see signs all over the place, love your neighbor, and that's it. I'm telling you, there's a lot more to it. Scripture is filled with what that love really means. What he means when he says, love your neighbor. And we see some of it in Jesus' command as he leaves his disciples and he goes. He ascends into heaven and he says in Matthew 28, and he tells them, he says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. This is part of what we do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. These are the words of our Savior, our Lord and Savior. This is a part of love. This is a part of your calling. This is a part of who you are. We are also to do good works, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us. It says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now we think, okay, God made us, he loved us, and he gives us a job to do. But you and I are also in a very big spiritual battle that is raging all around us, and I don't know how you can miss it. When I talk about it, there's an identity crisis all over our world, especially in, seems like in our country right now, there's a huge identity crisis. People don't know who they are, where they're going, what they believe. They're tossing the word of God to the side. They're looking for something to worship. They just don't know it yet. But there is a spiritual battle that rages on, and Ephesians 6 talks about what we are to do with that. Paul tells the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Remember that all authority, all power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. And so Paul goes on to say, so put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What did the devil do to Jesus? Tried to tell him, so if you are the Son of God, and then the devil says, I have all authority that's been given to me. I can give that to you, Jesus. That's what we face today. We face the lies of this world. Satan is called the father of lies. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, Paul says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And verse 16, in addition to all this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert, always keeping and always keep on praying for all the saints. Excuse me. Remember that part of loving your neighbor? Second greatest command, right? What good is it if we just love our neighbor and we don't tell him the truth, if we don't speak the truth in love, as Scripture says? If we don't tell him why we believe what we believe? What good is loving your neighbor when you compromise the truth of God's word? In my mind, that's not love. That's compromising. Isaiah 43:7 tells us that we are created for God's glory. That's what we are created for. We are created for God's glory. It makes perfect sense to me that the purpose of our life should be then to do what? Glorify God. That is the reason you are here. I don't care what you do, whether you are ranching or whether you are a farmer, whether you're a boilermaker, a teacher, or a lawyer. Whatever you do, your place as a child of God is to glorify Him. And how do you do that in your workplace? We're going to look at that in the coming weeks. How all of our life should be worship. There is no compromise. There is no do church on Sunday and live a different way after you leave this building. So our purpose is to glorify God. That's what you're made for. The more difficult question to me then is, so then how do we do that? How do we give glory to God? And I mean fully. I mean surrendered fully to Him, as it says in Romans 12:1, what it means to be a living sacrifice. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's God's work in you. That's what God is telling you. I created you for worship. I created you to be a light unto the world. I created you to be the hands and feet of my Son, Jesus Christ. And yes, I created you to love your neighbor. We are God's workmanship. It's almost like there's this wheel that I see, and there's four parts to it. At the top of the wheel is a beginning with the arrow off to the right. And it says, the more that we know God, stage two is the more that you're going to love God. Stage three is the more that you love God is the more that you're going to know your purpose. You're going to know why you're here. And you're going to know why you are doing what you're doing. And the last thing is amazing because it comes full circle. When you know God, by the time you get to the fourth stage, guess what? You worship. You worship because you're starting to get a better understanding of knowing how big God is. Worship, true worship, is like the completion of the circle of God's love. Going back to Him. There's a final song that I would like to do as we close that Virginia brought to me this morning as we prayed together and as we were talking. I told Virginia I was looking for a hymn, and it wasn't even 2 seconds, and she said, let's sing Take Time to Be Holy. I thought, you know, that's a perfect way to end this because God calls us. It says that we are to be holy, right? Scripture tells us, be holy as I am holy. When I think of that, I don't see much in my life that I would consider holy. I just see myself as falling short in so many areas. I think, how am I ever going to measure up to that? And yet, as you open your hymnals to 325, and you look at Take Time to Be Holy, it says, abide in Him always. Abide always. Tells us to feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessings that we are to seek. Isn't that beautiful? It's just like God just gave that wonderful hymn to Virginia to give to me to say, this is how I want the message to end today. So please stand and open up your hymnal 325. This is an old, old hymn. And yes, it's even older than me, Eric. I knew what you were thinking. Take time to be holy and just look at every line of this song and tell me if you are not being awakened to what God wants to tell you today. All set.
Abide in Him.
Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for today, God, and we pray that we would understand more of who you are and what our purpose is in this life, Lord, as we desire to know more of you, that we know how to love you more, know our purpose, and to worship you more fully. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.